From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. The city and borough of Juneau says it's not going to change its testing strategy to match new guidelines published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Monday. The CDC's change suggested people exposed to COVID-19, quote, do not necessarily need a test. City Manager Rory Watts says the city is following the state's testing guidelines.
Our approach is even more testing. So we're certainly driving in that direction, and we've reached out to the governor and Dr. Zink and expressed an openness of CBJ partnering with the state on kind of cutting-edge testing activity. So
Watt made those comments during the city's weekly COVID-19 update. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove said during the call that family and social gatherings have helped the virus spread in recent weeks.
Weddings, funerals, other types of gatherings where people basically come together in their social group and they feel comfortable and they put down their guard. Maybe there's eating and drinking so people aren't masked up and transmission occurs.
Watt and Cosgrove both say residents should continue wearing masks, practice social distancing, and wash their hands to prevent transmission. Watt also says it's changing the time for its weekly community updates to Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Cosgrove says questions should be submitted by late afternoons on Monday. As of Thursday, Juneau has 17 active cases with one new non-resident case announced Wednesday. The roadless rule debate for the Tongass National Forest has been going on since before social media websites even existed. But today, it's not uncommon to scroll past conversations about the sweeping policy changes on Facebook or Instagram. Young Indigenous leaders in Alaska and elsewhere are making that content extremely shareable. It's a push to get the word out before the Trump administration makes a final decision. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has the story.
Even if you're not aware of the contentious ongoing roadless rule debate, you've probably heard of Vogue, the high-end fashion magazine. Now, imagine combining the two. A Vogue cover with dense federal policy.
Right across the top in capital letters, it says Vogue. And we have Vogue Tongass, and it's called the Land Back Issue.
That's Marina Anderson, a tribal administrator at the Organized Village of Kasan. She's on that reimagined cover of Vogue, which includes headlines about real ordeals tribal governments have faced. It's posted to her Instagram page. Anderson isn't the first person to use a mock-up of a Vogue cover to make a point. A Black Oslo-based student started a Vogue challenge over the summer to promote more diversity on the magazine's covers, which have been photographed by mostly white males. Anderson says she's been meaning to write a thank you note for the inspiration. She thought this approach could also be applied to educate people about problems at home.
So immediately it's able to draw somebody in because it's something that we're familiar with, which is Vogue.
But depending on how closely you keep up with the news, you might not be aware of the major management changes underway in the Tongass National Forest. In 2018, the state of Alaska petitioned the United States Department of Agriculture for an exemption to the roadless rule. That would mean the rule that prohibits road building in parts of the national forest wouldn't apply to Alaska. Proponents say the exemption could open up access to logging in the Tongass, among other economic boosts. But lots of people, from commercial fishermen to tribal governments, have voiced strong opposition. There are concerns about what this can mean for deer and salmon habitat and climate change mitigation. Recently, nine tribal governments requested another federal process to establish a traditional homelands conservation rule. The idea is to protect important areas for Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian peoples. All of this is complicated, and that's where the Vogue cover fits in.
I've been hearing that because it was catchy and easy to really follow along with the Vogue covers on social media, they were finally ready to learn about it.
Several Indigenous leaders and social media influencers have joined the cause, sharing their own Vogue Tongass covers. The posts are linked to a website that helps people generate letters to their elected local officials and the secretary of the USDA.
A priority of the campaign was to be able to reach young people to keep the momentum up. A lot of us have a big, large web, and we have the know-how to be able to click fast on these little phones and make things happen.
Richard Peterson, the president of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, has been following the proposed changes to the roadless rule closely for a long time. but he only recently learned about the Tongass edition of Vogue.
I had many people reach out and say, hey, where's your Vogue cover? I was like, what?
Peterson now has his own Vogue Tongass cover, which he posted on Instagram. He says he was delighted to see this innovative way of getting the message across.
I think a lot of people really don't understand what the tribe's concerns are right now. And I think that's how we can start the conversation and begin educating.
Marina Anderson thinks that's a conversation young people should be prepared to have. The roadless rule is something that's been an ongoing topic in Alaska for decades. And it's a debate that doesn't seem to be going away.
If we're going to have to fight this fight again in another 10 years, we're going to need these people ready.
So far, she says 500 people have submitted letters supporting tribal governments. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
Hundreds of seafood processing workers come to Petersburg every year, which creates a high-risk scenario for COVID transmission. The town's two processing giants, OBI Seafoods and Trident Seafoods, have spent millions of dollars quarantining and testing its seasonal workforce, who live on a closed campus. But there are also local resident employees who work in the plants. The local COVID testing program aims to identify and isolate any positive case before it transmits from town into one of the plants. KFSK's Corin Smith reports.
Seafood processing plants bring hundreds of workers together in close quarters for long hours, and so the risk for transmission of the coronavirus is high. At the beginning of the summer, seafood companies went to great lengths to safely fly the seasonal workforce up to Alaska to towns including Petersburg. It took careful planning and millions of dollars for testing and quarantining workers to isolate any positive COVID cases. Liz Bakum is the manager of infection prevention at the Petersburg Medical Center.
It could decimate the economy of the community and also impact the fisheries. We saw that in meatpacking situations down south, and so they were very aggressive in getting a plan where they actually tested their seasonal workers before they even left Seattle to come up here, and they were automatically quarantined for 14 days.
As a result, two positive cases, one worker for Trident and one with Ocean Beauty Icicle Seafoods, or OBI, were detected and isolated this summer. But then the risk changed. With the vast majority of seasonal workers testing negative and restricted to a closed campus, the risk of COVID being transmitted into the plants then potentially came from resident Petersburg workers living in town and working in the plants. Fortunately, there has been very few cases of COVID in the community, so the risk has been low. Again, Liz Bakum.
If there had been an outbreak in the community, it would have been a very high risk for the cannery workers going back and forth. You know, fortunately, our cases in Petersburg have been minimal and there hasn't been community transmission.
In June, the Petersburg Borough Assembly approved just over $177,000 in federal CARES Act funding for regular COVID testing for the local resident seafood processing workforce. Angela Manesh is the director of patient services at the Petersburg Medical Center and oversees the testing program, which happens every 2 weeks.
Friday morning, we head down with our supplies and our PPE, and we have two people essentially, you know, checking people through and getting their consent. And then they come over to the little swab station.
Workers then swab their own nostrils. It's a newer type of test, not the deep nasal swab that used to be common, but could be painful. Then they hand it back to medical staff and go back to work. Those asymptomatic tests are sent to a lab in Bellingham, Washington, and results take about 2 to 4 days.
If someone was to have symptoms, that would be a different story. They would be tested through the respiratory screening clinic, and they would definitely quarantine until the results were back.
PMC estimates about 177 local workers from OBI and Trident are tested each week. But the medical center relies on the companies to coordinate who is a local resident and send them a roster for testing. The seafood companies also do their own asymptomatic COVID testing of the workforce and for seasonal workers living on the closed campus as well. KFSK inquired with OBI and Trident about their testing programs, but neither company returned requests for comment.
That was Corin Smith with KFSK in Petersburg. And this is KTOO News.